would be biblically accurate to describe the word grace? Go ahead. It's Sunday morning, I realize, but you can talk back for a moment. Love? Anything else? Okay? You're shy. The one word that maybe we can talk about today is going to be coming up from this passage in Titus chapter 2. Listen to the words. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So as you and I think about this, what we're going to say is there's the one word that comes, and I'm sorry, something in my presentation just missed it, is the word is work. Now, before you burn me at the stake for being a heretic, you're going to remember certain passages of Scripture. Work is the one word that expresses to us what grace is all about. Now, we're going to take a look at the big picture of the theology of grace, and we're going to find it in three sections. And we're going to take a look at one of the sections here. And the first one is going to be the ice cream shop of grace, where you and I discover the uniqueness of what God has done for us in that he has granted us forgiveness of sin. But when you talk about grace being work, it's the work of who? Very good, it's the work of God. So grace is God's work, where God comes through and graciously gives to us what we cannot give for ourselves in order to bring us into right relationship with him. And God comes through and he says, it's going to be my work and I'm going to give it freely. My graciousness is going to be given to you across all areas so that you might come to know me as Lord and Savior. And so when you and I come to understanding grace, 33% of that grace is going to be the forgiveness part of grace, the ice cream shop of grace. Grace has two parts to it in this first area of the ice cream shop. If you enjoy ice cream, it's a delight when someone takes you to the ice cream shop, and I don't know where they are in Three Hills exactly, but and they give you a free cone. And you don't want just one scoop, you want more than one scoop, two scoops, three scoops, whatever it is. And so when you come into the ice cream shop of grace, God's grace, you walk into the shop, and as you look at the, I guess you'd call it the signboard, you'll notice that there's going to be tiger ice cream. There's going to be black licorice ice cream. There's going to be, for those of us who are not very expressive, vanilla ice cream. And if you're over 65, there'll be maple walnut ice cream for you. Because there's flavors, and God's grace comes in its various ways into your life and mine because God sees us as individuals. And he works with us, and he brings to us his grace in his unique ways so that we might recognize him working in his blessing to our lives. Freely given to us, the fact that we're cleansed from our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, grace, if you look at John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus who came to this world full of grace and truth. And so when you look at grace and Jesus, grace has these two aspects to it. There's truth. It's like the, what do you call that cone? That's right. Thank you. My Ukrainian brain just froze for a second. It's the waffle cone, and the truth doesn't change through all the years. It's the crust that's there. And it holds the ice cream. If you bought ice cream and they gave it to you in your hand, what would you have? Yes. Thank you. Exactly right. Theological word. It's a mess. And so God says grace does not come to us as a mess. It comes always within the waffle cone of truth. And the truth sometimes is a little bit harder, but it's very clear and it's definitive. And the ice cream, the grace fits into that truth, and the truth gives the grace its shape within our lives. And so when you walk with God, as we come into the ice cream shop of grace, we begin to recognize that God gives to us his grace, and what we just read. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And so when you and I look at Ephesians, we understand that it's a grace given to us. It's a gift because it's the work of God graciously pouring out his heart to you and to me so that we would understand the richness of what is salvation. It's delightful to walk into there. So when we talk about salvation, we understand it from three different angles. If we just sort of take the definition of the word, salvation means a big, open, spacious area. We're not confined by sin anymore. Theologically, the word means that God takes us out of sin and brings us into life. In our experience, we start to say, God has freed me, and now I understand the richness of what life can be. And so as we walk in this salvation that God has given to us, we're going to come to understand a little bit more of what he's doing for us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And so God says, I'm going to do something very unique. And this perfect God has the time of day to work with us as imperfect people, rebellious against him. And he says, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you from being my enemies to being my friend. And we know the story well. So that's God's salvation, freely given to us without anything that you and I do within our hearts and within our lives. So what God does is he takes dead things and makes them alive. And so he look at life and we say, what value does a corpse have? Not too many businesses selling corpses today. Good thing. But our God says, I have the ability and the power to transform a dead person and bring them into the spaciousness, to deliver them out of the pit, as it were, and to give them the experience of freedom of what life was always intended to be, as we'd just seen in the Garden of Eden. That's the salvation that God does. God does all the work for us in salvation, and you and I get the benefit. And so as he gives to us and we walk with him, we say, Lord, this is good. Now, grace does not come automatically or naturally. This is the work of God, graciously given to us within our lives. Now, understand that grace is not opposed to earning. Excuse me, got that right. Grace is opposed to earning, not effort. Keep that in mind, because most of us start to say, if we got it for free here, then we're free all the way through. God says, no, this is 33% of what grace is about. And so when you and I start to look at the grace of God, God says, don't give me this decaffeinated grace. Okay? He says, sometimes we take grace and we misunderstand what it does. And God says, I want you to work with me so that I can take you, as it were, by the scruff of the neck, and I'm going to transform you so that you would understand the freedom that I have given to you. There was a professor who was teaching, I'm not sure if the story goes, at a university, and he noticed that the students gave nicknames to the professors. And he heard that one of the nicknames of the professors was Maxwell House. And he thought, that's interesting. He knew about coffee. And if you look at Maxwell House, you'll know that the thing underneath says, if anybody remembers, good to the last drop. He thought, wow, that's a pretty complimentary name. And he thought, I wonder what they call me. And so he listened, and he found out that they called him Sanka. And if you remember the Sanka brand of coffee, he thought, they call me Sanka. What does it say? He looked at the brand and it said, 98% of the active portion of the bean has been removed. Then he understood a little bit of what decaffeinated intellect was all about. So when you and I come to understanding a bit of the grace of God, God's grace is working within our lives to train us and to move us into the second area of our lives, which is the workshop of grace. Sorry, something happened to the transferring of things electronically that we don't have all this on the screen. Oh, there it is. And so the second picture is there's the freedom of the ice cream shop. We're all happy because we're saved, our sins are forgiven, we're walking in a new life. God says, hang on, 33%. Now let me move you over, he says, into the workshop of grace. And in the workshop of grace, we're going to start to see God moving where he says, I'm going to train you. I'm going to shape you. I'm going to form you to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. We're going to leave something. But he says, then I'm going to also lead you into self-control and into righteousness and into godliness in this present age. So we delight in the ice cream shop because God has freed us from our sin. But then he ushers us into his workshop. And in his workshop, where God works on our hearts and within our lives. So what he reminds us here as we come into this body workshop, as it were, we have a mind and we have a body that did not always correctly respond to the grace that God has given to us. And so God says, I ask of you to do certain things, live certain ways, have a certain attitude, but we're not always in tune. And so God has to reshape and recalibrate our attitudes and our behavior as we walk along with him. And in this process, God has to lead us through. And so grace in the workshop of grace trains us to shed the damaging pounds of sin while toning the muscles of godliness. You're going to leave and you're going to become someone different as I work within your heart and within your life as you walk with me. And so as we come into this process, he reminds us of what has been said. Sin, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, that grace might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin is there, but he says grace is more powerful than sin. And what he wants us to understand is as we walk along, he goes on to say, What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, what's he telling us as we come into this whole thing? He's saying to us a couple of things. We are given this great grace in the ice cream shop. Now he says, as we understand that grace, God says, I want to change you and I want to transform you. He says, do you recognize why grace and sin are not compatible at all? Grace so despises sin that it can no way be associated with sin except to be always against it. So grace has a harder side to it, as it were. Then we understand that grace never supports sin. It's never compatible with sin, never feeds sin. It's always an enemy of sin. We're going to go back if I can, just one. Grace was never intended to be used to keep us going in sin. It was designed to get us out of sinning. So if when I accepted Jesus Christ, I'm the same person as I was back then, and I haven't changed in my attitudes or character, God says, we're missing the grace of God. Somehow the grace of God should be working in the workshop of grace to make us more like Jesus Christ than we were at the beginning. God's grace is there to take us and keep us in a whole new way. It represents God's efforts within our life so that we recognize that sin has no contribution to making our lives blessed in any way. Now, that's a little bit of a harder take in the sense of what God is doing. But God says, what I want you to understand is as we walk with me, as you walk with me, then you'll understand the point of grace. Because grace hates sin. And sin hates grace. So in the workshop of grace, we're going to have to recognize that grace and sin, there's no connection. If we think they are connected in any way, God says we're missing the point of what grace is. Grace transforms us in our way of living so that we are more like Jesus Christ. So what's he telling us? Something like this. Some of us, when we were younger and we had our first or second car, we thought it was great to get out and hit the gas and see if there was something black left on the pavement behind. Well, let's just say you've got some good car that can burn a lot of rubber and go quite fast. But in the process, maybe we're not quite skilled in handling the car. And so we crash. And then pretty soon you see that little white truck with that big cube on the back, out jump two paramedics, and they gather the bones of your body that you have mashed in an accident because you have gotten a little bit too far ahead, and you thought that you could just live the way you wanted. Well, guess what? They transport you to this big, big, large building. It's called a hospital. Inside are skilled people in the hospital, and they take your mangled bones and your torn flesh and your blood all over, and they clean you up, and they patch you up, and you, in about, let's say, 6 weeks, can walk out of there, and you've got life again. So what do? You hop in a car, and you get out there, and you say, I can live the way I want, because I know there's a hospital, and if I get in an accident, they'll pick me up. Free of charge, somebody else will pay for it. And then we'll get to the hospital, the medical doctors will fix me up, put the bones together, and I'll be able to do the same thing. God says, really? Are we that foolish to think that we can just do whatever we want, and then God's going to wash away our sin and forgive us with it, and then we go on living again and doing the same thing again and again? No, he says, sin and grace are not compatible. Grace is to take and move us on into a whole different way. So grace is not just designed to forgive us of our sin, but to stop us from sinning, so that we would sin less as we walk along with him, as we look into God's word. And so as you and I come along, sin is always a disgrace to the grace of God. And as you and I walk along, there's these training rules. And you say, rules with grace? Most definitely. There are rules, there are standards, there are commandments of God's word that God says, as you walk with me, we need to train you in the ways of righteousness. And so grace has its commandments. And you say, but that's legalism, that's following rules. And God says, hold it. He says, when you and I are walking through life, often we say things are legalistic because we're lazy in understanding the work of the workshop of grace. And so he says, be careful that you don't try to cop out, as it were, for the grace of God, Paul says, notice what he says, I am what I am. And his grace toward me is not in vain. On the contrary, I, next word, worked. Paul, the great apostle, who tells us of the free grace, says, I worked, and the next word is what? Harder. Harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God is with me. So the apostle Paul, who said there's free grace, says, look, when the grace of God came into my life in the workshop of grace, I worked harder than anyone else that this grace of God would change my character and make me more like Jesus. So when you come to this workshop of grace, we don't operate with optimal conditions today, but we do work with optimal grace. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you to guide you through into all things. Now he takes us and says, you've been in the ice cream shop of grace. Now he says, you've been through the workshop of grace. And notice what he says at the end of Titus chapter 2, verse 14. For the grace of God has appeared for a people who are zealous for good works. You've had a couple of object lessons today. Permit me to do one more. And so what you and I discover in life, and I don't know if you've noticed this, this is the theology of the orange. As you walk around today, you'll notice as you walk into houses, oranges all over the place, at people's mantles, on people's kitchen table, in their bedrooms, in their bathrooms, in their restrooms, all over. oranges. No, it doesn't happen. Because you see, the theology of the orange is this. As God says, as you walk through with me, here's what happens in life. You've had the ice cream shop of grace, delightful, enjoyable, free from our sin, cleansed. Then we get into the workshop of grace, and the workshop of grace is a little different, and we say, oh, that's not quite what I expected, but God is reshaping my life, and I need to change, become more like Jesus. And then he says, hold it. When I take you into the workshop of grace, he says, I'm doing that for a reason, because I want you to be zealous for good works. We say, okay, how does that work? And so God does something like this, and this is the more difficult part of what grace is all about. And so when we walk through in our lives, if you and I take an orange, and because we've spent money on a good orange, and leave it as an orange, what happens to the orange in 6 weeks? Right. You've got it. And so God says, what's going to do is we're going to take this grace that you got in the ice cream shop. We're going to refine your life in the process. And he says, I'm going to put you with other people. Don't look sideways or backwards now. And he says, I'm going to put you with people so that you might be zealous for good works. How does that happen? And this is where we say, but the ice cream shop was free. It was kind of nice. And the workshop, well, we could handle it a little bit. But God says, I'm going to make you zealous for good works, and here's how the process works. He says, somebody's going to come along, and they're going to do something like this, and permit me to do this Sunday morning. They're going to take a bite out of your character, and they're going to wreck you up a little bit. And you know what? That is bitter. I wouldn't do that too often. But he says, that's going to happen, and you're going to look at your life, and you're going to say, but I'm an orange. I would love to be a complete, nice, whole orange. God says, you know what's going to happen? He says, somebody's going to come along, and they're going to make a cutting remark on your character. And it's going to crush you, and you're going to go home, and in the quietness of the day, you're going to say, I thought they were my friend. And they just cut me open. What they said hurts deeply within. That's not all. There's going to come a point where people are going to grind it in your life, and they're going to wreck you up, and they're going to squish you, and they're going to tear you apart and do everything that is there. And as you walk through, they're going to squeeze you. They're going to say all kinds of things. And you're going to cry out, God, I was in the ice cream shop. It was for free. It was really good. I could handle the workshop. But being zealous for good works is a little harder. And God's going to say, what's the purpose of the orange? And God is going to say to you and to me, the whole purpose of the orange is so that you and I might drink of the life of God. Sorry, you don't get the orange juice. Do you see why God takes us? And he takes us, and he squishes us, and he leads us through hurt and difficulty and hard times many times. And the hardest part of grace is that God would come and take us, and in the ice cream shop, we're all delighted with free grace. In the workshop, it's a little harder to be zealous for good works. It's even more harder. Because here is where the life of grace is exemplified in you and in me. And there we understand the whole purpose of what life looks at, like as we submit ourselves to the sovereignty of God. When you and I come through understanding what God is doing within our lives, and we try to finish this off, notice what Jesus did. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cutting remarks. He was squished. They bent him out of shape. But it was for the joy that God had given to him to complete his will. If you'll notice what Scripture says, it's this. God is able to make how much grace, folks? All grace. Abound so that you have all sufficiency in all things at all times that you may abound in. There's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. The grace of God is so good, so rich, so powerful that the Apostle Paul writes for us that in any and every circumstance, the grace of God is able to conquer our sin. So good is our God that we might be enriched in every way so that thanksgiving might flow through our lives as we walk along with him. And as you and I walk in this process where God is doing things for us, we read that we're going to be doing for him all others because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. So as we leave and as we go into our places this week, we can enjoy the ice cream shop fun. Choose your flavors. God adjusts with the truth of God in that waffle cone as he gives us his grace. But then he leads us to the workshop, and then he says, I want to make you zealous for good works, so that you might be a deliverer, not just, you're the Amazon, prime Amazon deliverers in this community of the grace of God as we walk along with him. And as we do that, we begin to recognize where God is taking us in this process. And that's why he writes, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift, because he's right. He understands what it all means. And so as you and I look at it, we begin to understand that administering the grace of God is probably one of the most difficult things we ever have to do within our lives. Because we bring to others the delightfulness of the ice cream shop of grace. As we walk through with him in the workshop, he shapes us. And we get to see other people come to know Jesus Christ. So, you have 33% grace in the ice cream shop. You have 33% grace in the workshop. You have 33% delivery of grace equals 100%. And for those of you who can't understand that, I'm going to say, give me 1% grace. Because we recognize where God is taking us. There's a mother who took her children to the restaurant. Her son was 6 years old, apparently, at that time. And he asked if he could say grace at the restaurant. They bowed their heads, and he prayed this prayer. God is good. God is great. Thanks for the food. And I would even thank you more if Mom gets us ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all. Amen. The people around in the restaurant laughed, and except for one lady. And she said, and the little guy heard the comment, that's what's wrong with this country. Kids don't even know how to pray. Asking God for ice cream. Why? I never. The little guy heard this comment and he burst into tears. And he asked his mother, did I do something wrong? Is God mad at me? And she assured him that he had done nothing wrong. Not at all. He did a terrific job, that God was not mad at him. Then an elderly gentleman in the restaurant walked up and in a theatrical style, putting a little bit of emphasis through his behavior, came and whispered to the kid, I happen to know that God thought that that was a great prayer. And the little guy looked up and said, I guess, really? And the guy said, cross my heart. And then he said, pointing toward that woman who had made that comment about this kid, his prayer, he said, too bad she never asked God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. The little guy looked at the ice cream he had gotten, picked it up, walked over to the lady who had criticized him, and said something like this. Here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, and my soul is good already. As you go into this week, would you take the ice cream shop grace that God has delighted you with? And as you've worked in the workshop, would you come to someone and say, here, this is for you. My soul is good already because I've been living in the grace of God. I want you to have some. Let's pray. Father, you have been extremely gracious to us in all ways. May we let that grace refine us May we shed the pounds of sin and tone the muscles of grace. But then would you take us and would you lead us into the next part, where we might be zealous for good works, and we might take the delightfulness of grace and the difficulties of distributing it. And as we're squished, pummeled, criticized, may the sweetness of grace come out of our lives, we would pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ron, for sharing with us this morning. I invite you to sing together. Maybe it's just your heart's prayer this morning. I trust it is. All to Jesus.